Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Unless you've been living on another planet, you have probably heard of Uber, the ride-sharing service. And in case you haven't heard, Uber is coming to our hometown of Rochester, New York in just a few weeks. It'll be a new experience for everyone. Today, I will share the experiences of two Uber users who are blind. One lives in Chicago and one in Atlanta. The first article comes from Vision Aware, published by the American Foundation for the Blind. The website is afb.org. The headline reads, Using Uber as an alternative transportation service for people with vision loss. This was posted over a year ago, and I must admit that this is the most current, most recent information I could find about Uber service for people who are blind. So this is a good one, though. This is a blog, which is a weblog. It was written by someone named Empish Thomas. Empish is her first name. What is Uber? Uber is spelled U-B-E-R, and that's a German pronunciation, Uber. Nearly a year ago, she says, I started trying out a new transportation service that hit my city. It's called Uber. I had been hearing about it all over the place from both sighted and blind friends. I had not tried it yet because I had no smartphone, and I also was not sure of its effectiveness. After purchasing my iPhone and having to wait longer than I wanted at a doctor's office, I decided to try Uber. It was a funny situation that you can read about in another column, Vision Aware's laughter section, but it worked, and after that, I was hooked. So, for those of you who are reading this and scratching your head, what is Uber, and how does it work? Well, let me explain. According to the Uber website in 2008, Travis Kalanick and Garrett Camp had trouble hailing a cab. So they came up with a simple idea to create an app that could call up car service via a smartphone. Maybe I should insert here that you do need a smartphone in order to use Uber. The article continues, today, she says, Uber is providing rides to people all over the place. Basically, what happens is a person uses their phone to call up a driver for a ride. That driver is a contractor with Uber and is using their personal vehicle to pick up the person. Since the person is using an app on their smartphone, no cash is exchanged. It's all done via a credit card or a debit card. This is an option that I like the best because then I don't have to worry about carrying cash. Also, I've had problems with cab drivers not wanting to accept credit or debit cards when trying to pay for fares, and I don't have that problem when I use Uber. How does Uber work? The app on the phone is a free download, and it is very easy to install. Additionally, the app is very accessible with smartphone technology. I use VoiceOver on my iPhone and have had very little problem accessing the app. The one challenge is that Uber does constantly update its app, so I have to stay abreast of the new changes. But once I swipe around the screen, I can quickly get reacquainted again and check out the new features that they've installed. The next section, calling up rides and fare estimates. Once you have downloaded the app, you can create your profile, which includes your username, password, and credit card information. When you are ready to call up a ride, you will have some options depending on the type of car you want to use. Uber X is the most popular and the most affordable. The car size can hold 1 to 4 people, and in Atlanta, where I live, the fare starts off at about $5. I use this option the most, and I find it a great alternative to when I want to go up the street for grocery shopping. I call it my $5 for 5 minutes. My grocery store is about a mile or so away from my home, and it only costs about $5 and takes about 5 minutes. A trip on my local paratransit is $4 and can take upwards to 30 minutes or more, so Uber is a much better deal. Then there is Uber XL for a larger car, Uber Black, and Uber SUV for luxury cars. These other options, of course, are much more expensive, too. I'd also like to stop here, and I use that term paratransit. Just a general description, paratransit is accessible transit along a fixed transit bus route. So if you have bus transportation in your city, they are, I believe, obligated by law to provide paratransit service accessible. In the Rochester area, it's now called RTS Access. It used to be called Lift Line long ago. This is paratransit. So back to the article. When calling up your trip, you can type in the location of where you are and your destination, or you can use the GPS on your phone to do that. You can also create two locations in your profile that you travel to frequently so that you don't have to type them in again all the time. For me, I have my home and my work address stored, and then I just tap on them when I want to go to either one. It saves me a lot of time and energy. Before your car arrives, Uber will give you a fare estimate, an estimate of the fare, what it's going to cost you, right there on the screen, so you know up front if you want to pay that fare. This is an estimate because Uber cannot totally factor in traffic, congestion, accidents, bad weather, or drivers who get turned around or lost. These factors can make the fare more. But I have noticed that the estimate does stay relatively close to what I actually pay in the end. One thing that is great about Uber is that if you don't agree with your final fare amount, you can dispute it. You will get an emailed receipt that will give the breakdown of your fare. By replying to that email and explaining why you don't agree, an Uber representative can review the fare and look into it. Additionally, if there are problems with your driver, that same email can be used to address those issues as well. If you don't want to use email, you can do all of this via your phone app, too. Once you have agreed to the fare, the next screen on your app will show the name and picture of your driver, the license plate number, and the make and model of the car. And I read somewhere else that it does not include the color of the car, but that probably wouldn't matter. So it does include the name and picture of the driver, license plate number, and the make and model of the car. It will also give you an estimate of the time that your driver will arrive to pick you up. If you want to contact the driver, just tap on the driver's name, and you can either call or text. I like this feature because I can contact the driver and give special instructions and also let them know that I am blind and that I might need assistance to the car. I usually let the Uber driver know that so that they can get out of the vehicle and come over and assist me, and that way we don't miss each other. After you connect with your driver and get into the vehicle, it's a good idea to confirm the address of your destination. Sometimes information can get a little lost in the shuffle, or drivers can get distracted or might not be familiar. So just double check. Your phone will indicate that you are in the car and then will give you an estimate of the time you will arrive at your destination. Once you arrive, your phone will pull up another screen with a final fare and a rating for the driver. You can rate the driver from 1 to 5 and submit comments as well. Please note that if you want to tip the driver, you have to do that via the Uber website. When you create your profile, there is a place on the website to select the tip rate that you want. Key things to remember. Now, a couple of key things to keep in mind. Uber does what they call surge pricing. This typically happens during peak times like rush hour or if the weather gets really bad. The fare during this time can be one or two times the regular rate. Uber will tell you this in advance and will offer you the option to get a text message notice when the surge pricing goes down, if you like. When I see the notice for surge pricing, I usually will look at the fare and will compare UberX and check out Uber XL to see how much of a difference it will be if I really have to get going. Or I will just wait until the surge pricing goes down. Or I will use their competitor, Lyft, instead. Lyft is spelled L-Y-F-T. It's a service similar to Uber. When it comes to dog guides, Uber has gotten some heat in the past. You may have heard about their legal tangles. Many people with guide dogs and service animals were having difficulty with drivers not allowing them to bring their animals on a trip. There was little recourse or information on the Uber site that a person could do this, what a person could do if this happens to them. But today, if you go to the Uber website and look under their help section, you will find updated information on service animals. Drivers are not allowed to deny you a trip, and if they do, you can report them to Uber. One last key thing to remember is Uber offers corporate or business accounts. I have one of these as well as my own personal account. From time to time, I have to travel for my work, and instead of using cabs or hiring a driver, my manager and I set up an Uber business account. When I get ready to call up a car, I just have to be sure that I change the account option from my personal account to my company account on the screen of my iPhone so that the charge will go to the correct account. When I do that, an additional screen pops up to fill out for the trip. But I skip that because it takes away from calling up the car. I just provide the documentation of the trip later on. After I have traveled to the work function, Uber not only sends me a receipt, but will send one to my manager as well. And then we send that to the accounting department for record keeping. And she finishes this blog. Her name is Empish Thomas. She concludes by saying, Uber is alternative transportation. Now that I have shared with you how Uber works, hopefully you have learned a little more about how it can be a viable alternative to other modes of transportation that you currently use. If you are not still convinced, check out my next blog post on 5 ways I use Uber. Hopefully we'll have time to get to that post. Some comments were posted after this article appeared. The first one is from someone named Audrey. She says it sounds like an Airbnb on wheels. Great informative article. I have only used Uber in other cities because I do not have it locally. But one question that does come up is the safety issue. I was always felt safe with Uber drivers, and they have always accepted my dog guide. Empish, the author of the original article, responds to Audrey, thanks, I feel like I'm always blazing new trails. Glad to hear that you are not having problems with your guide dog. I know that was an issue in the past and has made some blind folks reluctant to use the service. I, too, have had little to no problems, even though I hear bad news stories on TV about Uber drivers. I just don't have those problems and feel that those are just isolated occurrences. The cool thing is that you have the driver's info, his name or her name, picture, car tag, make and model. Also, you can track your ride and send that information to another person, so that they can track you in the car. There's an option for that on the app. I feel safe in an Uber car and have no problems with drivers harming me. Okay, the next article is from a person who lives in Chicago. It's a person named Sandy. She's at the Chicago Lighthouse, and she also has written a blog, a weblog, which is like a journal. She starts out, "My experience as a blind Uber passengers." As a passenger, are ride-sharing services worth it? I'm visually impaired, I began telling the Uber driver, but I stopped halfway through my sentence after I realized he hung up the phone. I had recently used Uber with another colleague and decided to give it a try after seeing how easy and fast it was to get and pay for the ride. Ride-sharing services such as Uber, Lyft, and another one called Sidecar are becoming popular for many reasons. Anyone who owns a smartphone can download the respective apps and request rides in a matter of seconds. Those of us who have used taxicabs know that it can take a while for them to arrive, especially in a smaller city. I recently had to go to a work meeting on my own, so I decided that it was the perfect opportunity to try Uber. I had heard about their efforts to better accommodate people with disabilities and was curious to see how drivers would react to and accommodate a blind person. You probably remember some of our previous commentaries regarding alleged discrimination from Uber drivers against people with service dogs. I have not heard of drivers refusing to pick up someone like me who uses a white cane, and therefore did not foresee myself running into any major issues. Prior to requesting the first ride, users have to open an account. This includes providing contact information, a profile picture, and a credit card for billing purposes. The setup was fairly simple and accessible using VoiceOver, which is Apple's screen reading software designed for people who are blind and visually impaired. I also typed in Assist, the promotional code, which, according to Uber, lets drivers know the passenger has a disability. There are no other sections where users with disabilities can notify drivers of their specific needs or other details. Requesting and getting the ride. I better tell you at this point that this article was written in 2015, in August of 2015, which actually is coming close to 2 years ago. So these procedures may be different, but it's good information for you to know anyhow. Requesting and getting the ride. After requesting my ride, I got a notification with the driver's name, car model, and estimated time of arrival, the ETA. At this point in the process, users can cancel the ride or text or call the driver. This last option can be helpful if you're blind and wish to give the driver more specific details about how to find you. All of this information is completely accessible with VoiceOver. My ride would arrive in about 4 minutes, so I decided to go outside, making sure my cane was visible. I figured that way the driver could easily find me. Before I knew it, my phone was ringing. It was my Uber driver. The driver guided me to the car, and we were on our way. Out of curiosity, I asked him if he had received any type of instruction on how to help people with disabilities. While he hadn't gotten this training from Uber, it turns out he had worked as a cab driver for the city of Chicago. He had to learn about the ADA, service animals, and people with disabilities in order to get his cab driver's license. When we arrived, the driver got out of the car and assisted me to the entrance. Of course, the best part was that I didn't have to fumble around in my wallet looking for cash. Once your ride ends, Uber will automatically charge the ride to the credit card on file. Since my first experience with Uber had been very pleasant, I decided to use it again later that day to return to my office. That experience was equally pleasant, and the second driver was also friendly and helpful. Needless to say, I gave both drivers a 5-star rating. And a note here from me, the drivers also can rate you as a passenger, so you better behave yourselves. The article continues, though, by saying if ride-sharing services are available in your area, they might be a convenient way for you to get fast and affordable transportation. This is especially true if you are blind or visually impaired and need other transportation options. Unfortunately, much more needs to be done to make sure Uber and other ride-sharing services are fully accessible to people with disabilities. I believe that if ride-sharing providers take the time to train their drivers on the rights of people with disabilities, more individuals would have a positive experience. As a frequent cab, and as of last week, Uber passenger, I feel that most drivers do not discriminate against people with disabilities or those who use service animals because they're rude. It could simply be a matter of informing them about the best ways to accommodate disabled individuals. What has your experience been with ride-sharing companies? Have you found them to be more or less helpful now that people with disabilities are advocating for equal access? This was a blog written by Sandy. Her email address is sandysview@chicagolighthouse.org. And once again, there have been some comments made on the article, which was titled My Experience as a Blind Uber Passenger, Are Ride-Sharing Services Worth It? This is about the Uber service in Chicago. Lee Berkland said, again, about 2 years ago, interesting article about negotiating a ride service that many take for granted. Thank you for sharing. Sandy responded, thanks for your comment, Lee. I think that if and when Uber and all these other ride-sharing companies make their services more accessible, they have a lot of business potential in the disability community. After all, a lot of us rely on public transportation. And you can't beat a service that's fast and affordable. Someone named Beth said something very, and the word very is in all capital letters, something very important to this post is that the reason your first driver knew about responding to people with disabilities is that Chicago cab drivers are required to take a course in which they learn about the ADA law and people with disabilities in order to get a cab license. This is my own personal problem with Uber. Drivers are not required to take any courses or really do anything to become an Uber driver. If a licensed Chicago cab driver refuses to pick me up because of my disability, they can be fined. If an Uber driver discriminates against a person with disability, there is no recourse. The next comment from Sandy says, I've taken Uber several times after that first day, and all the experiences have been good so far. I do, however, wonder if they would be any different if, for example, I had had a service dog. Honestly, and knock on wood, I haven't had any problem with drivers, whether they be Uber drivers or cab drivers. The next comment is from Albert. Uber drivers use their personal vehicles to provide rides. The line between service animals and pets has been blurred by the increasing use of so-called comfort animals. Some people don't like dogs, some fear them, and others just don't want animals in their personal vehicles. Most cabs are not owned by their drivers, so litigation and liability are other concerns when interacting with people who are disabled. Some good thoughts for you there. And now we go back to the Vision Aware column from the American Foundation for the Blind. This was the top ways I use Uber, posted by Empish Thomas, and she's the one who wrote the first article that we read. She says, why I use Uber. The past year, Uber has revolutionized my life. It has been an excellent alternative to public transportation, cabs, hiring personal drivers, or asking for rides from friends. I have used Uber for all kinds of commuting around the Atlanta metro area. Doctor's appointments, work-related meetings, grocery shopping, and outings with friends and movie nights. You name it, Uber has pretty much taken me there. But with all of this traveling around, Uber can be quite addictive. I mean, with the ability to call up a driver in about 5 to 10 minutes with a swipe of your finger on your smartphone just about any time you want, that is just hard to beat. But there is a cost, because Uber can be expensive depending on where you're going. My rides have ranged from as little as $5 to as high as $30 or more, causing me to slow down and look closely at the top most important times to use Uber. So if you're considering using Uber and are not sure of when to use the service, here are my suggestions. Number one, when taking short trips in the neighborhood. We heard about this just a little while ago. My 5 minutes for $5 ride. My local grocery store about a mile from my house. Uber trip 5 minutes, costs $5 to get there. Typical ride on paratransit is $4 with a waiting time between 30 minutes to an hour. A cab would cost me $10, and the wait time can be about the same as paratransit. So in situations when I'm grocery shopping, I will call up Uber. No more having to rush to get my groceries because the bus is coming, no more bag limits on the bus, and no more not having ice cream because it will melt before I get home. Next idea, when you have to be, this is number two, when you have to be at a certain place on time. Doctor's appointments, work, and special engagements are all important events that require that I be prompt. Sometimes there's flexibility, but sometimes there's not. In situations where I don't have much wiggle room, I will take Uber. For example, I have doctors that will charge a late or a no-show fee if I arrive even 15 minutes late. So knowing how unreliable other modes of transportation can be, I will take Uber to those appointments. Or if I'm going to the doctor's and not sure of how long the appointment will last, I will take the bus there and then take Uber home afterwards. Number three, when the bus breaks down. Uber came in very handy one morning on my regular commute to work. I was on the paratransit bus heading to work. The driver kept noticing that the brakes were acting strangely. So after calling in the situation, she pulled the bus over into a parking lot to wait for a replacement bus to come. We had no idea of how long that would be. In the past, when this kind of situation happened, I could be on the bus for an hour or more waiting for the replacement. Well, not this time. I pulled out my smartphone and called up Uber. I asked the other passengers if they were going in my direction and offered to share the ride. One other passenger was also going my same way. Uber was there in about 10 minutes, and we were on our way to work. Another possibility for using Uber would be when going out with friends. A group of friends from the blind book club I belong to all wanted to go out and eat after attending an author presentation at our local library. So instead of taking paratransit or a cab to the restaurant, I suggested we take Uber. I called up Uber on my phone and ordered one of those large size cars that we could all fit into comfortably. Once we got to the restaurant, I divided the cost and each person paid me for their portions of the trip cost. We were able to all travel together in one vehicle and we had a great time eating out together. Another reason for using Uber would be excessive wait times and delays with paratransit or other modes of transportation. If you are a regular paratransit rider, you are well aware of the long wait times and delays that can happen. Or maybe you are dealing with friends and family that don't show up on time, or even forget to come and pick you up. Unreliable transportation can be stressful and a pain to deal with when you're visually impaired. It can even make you feel angry and powerless. For me, these are the times that I consider taking Uber. If I have given the proper amount of time for paratransit to arrive and they are still late, then I look at taking Uber. A note from me, you got to be careful about your penalties if you are no-show for your paratransit, but that's just my thought. But anyhow, she continues to say, especially if it's in the evening and I've had a long day and I'm feeling tired or exhausted, I look closely at the situation and the time I'm wasting waiting for paratransit. I have come to realize that my time is very precious. Uber gives me a lot of freedom and power to do the things I want and need to do without wasting a lot of my time and energy. She finishes this entry by saying, my ways are subjective, so I hope that my top ways of using Uber were helpful for you. Please keep in mind these ways are completely subjective and just coming from my own personal experience. As you use Uber, you might find similar experiences or totally different ones. But at the end of the day, I believe that Uber is a great alternative to traditional modes of transportation that are currently available. The Uber website, by the way, is www.uber.com. And I'll insert here my own personal experience with Uber. Once in New York City, I had a very, very enjoyable, pleasant ride from way down by the World Trade Center, way up to 52nd Street. So it was a long ride, very pleasant driver, very clean car, a very, very prompt pickup. And he seemed to know sort of like the back routes, not the main routes. Also, he never honked the horn one time. I loved that. So consider using Uber when it comes to a city close to you. So here's a thought to end this program. Every problem has a solution. You just have to be creative enough to find it. This was a quote from a 40-year-old San Francisco computer programmer and businessman. His net worth today happens to be about $6.3 billion. This quote is from Travis Kalanick, who's the co-founder of Uber. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.